I'm just like, man, I don't know what to do with this. Like, what do I do with the live crab? I'm probably just going to turn into a pet. Like, you know, Sebastian, Rupert, and, you know, Krabby.
Hey, welcome back to Dot Grid, the show at the intersection of analog and digital. My name is Will Fenge, and I am joined, as I always am, by my co-host and close personal friend, Mr. Andy Wilfley.
Hello.
Long time no talk.
I know. It's been, I haven't heard from you for like a year, and suddenly you just call me up. What's up?
I'm so glad you keep your Skype on, because this is literally the only reason I use Skype. And I was like, oh, you know, I think I'll log into Skype today and see if, oh, Andy's around. We should record.
Just
and
do
a,
just do an episode.
Yeah, we just had an hour and a half just laying around. We weren't doing anything else. You know, we're not important people. We don't do anything with our lives but record podcasts and talk to each other. But no, seriously, how are things?
Things are pretty good. Just sitting here in the back corner of my apartment trying to make sure I can get internet and talking to you about digital analog stuff.
I am also in the back corner of the place where we live. I hate to call it a duplex, like it is, but I have a yard and I share a driveway. So yeah, it's a duplex, but I'm sitting back here in the office portion. It's it's a half house. It's a halfway house. We can call it a halfway house, right? That's not a real thing.
Cool.
That's something else. So yeah, I'm sitting back here in the corner of what is the office because it's the last room to get unpacked and, sort of organized. We're working on it. We sold a bunch of stuff this week and we're getting ready. It's the project probably for when we come back from vacation this weekend is to finish the office, but I'm sitting here recording in the dark.
Yeah, you've only been there for
the closet
for how long? 6 months?
Wait, what month is it? We moved in beginning of March.
Okay. Yeah.
March,
plenty
April,
of time.
May, June. Yeah. We've been here almost four and a half months.
You're not even going to move again for probably another 8 months. I think you got time.
No, probably not for at least another 6 weeks. We moved. We're not too far from where we were. We're like four blocks from the house we were in the last time you and I sat down to chat with each other over Skype. Because as I mentioned in I think the last episode, it's not that you and I don't talk.
Right.
We converse. We just do it in text-based stuff. We
just
don't
prefer not to talk to each other.
Your voice actually gives me nightmares.
Yeah, so you're just giving me migraines, so it's perfect.
Right, so if I only hear you once a year, I can medicate the rest of the time.
Yeah. All right, this has been Dot Grid. We'll all see you in 2018.
Great. Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for the headaches, and we're out. No, we there was moderate hype for the episode. I'm going to be generous and say there was moderate hype for the episode. It was really popular this evening. Apparently all it takes to get the Dot Grid fans fired up is Andy Wilfley and an alcoholic beverage. And then they're just like, they're chomping at the bit.
I was sitting there the other day, you know, just looking at my Facebook as one does. And, there was a post from the Dot Grid Facebook page that just came through saying like, hey, maybe we should record sometime soon. And I'm like, huh, that's nice.
I think I just put soon and an ellipsis. I think I just put soon and an ellipsis. And then you were like, wait a second. Are you? How is this going to work?
So I just figured
no,
you found a better
I really
co-host.
Wanted to. Oh, I had a running joke. Oh, who did I tell you on Facebook it was? I told you it was one of the Savages. Adam Fred Savage. Or who's the little one? Ben?
Yeah. Or Dan Savage. Yeah.
Dan
Savage. I think you should get Dan Savage to coast and you should just really pivot Dot Grid to just talk about
that,
sex.
That's a thing. I don't know Dan Savage from Adam, but that's Adam Carolla. I don't know him from anybody. So that seems like it would be an interesting pivot for us. We probably shouldn't do that. We could pivot and talk about tiny kitchens.
That's true. I did tweet today. I'm a little bit, so I've been obsessed and I think maybe I've talked about this before. If not, I've definitely tweeted about this before. Just like the little cooking videos that they just make for Facebook, like BuzzFeed and Tasty and Spoon University and Taste Made and all those. They have a new one, at least new to me, that's called Tiny Kitchens, and they just cook little tiny versions of food. And it's, I can't look away.
Then their viral marketing has got you. What are they trying to sell you?
It's amazing. I don't know how they do it.
Tiny kitchen setups. Are you going to be buying a tiny Dutch oven or a tiny cast iron skillet in the near future?
Tiny.
Today was Amazon Prime Day. You probably could have found some then. They were only giving away. They were only discounting stuff nobody wanted.
That's true. Well, I do kind of want a dot. But I
also almost bought a dot today
because I don't need that.
I almost bought a dot today just because I want a voice assistant that understands me, because we have the smart light bulbs here in the house now, which that was a whole ordeal.
That's true.
I have light fixtures that don't have light bulbs in them. They're just arrays of LEDs, which I did not know until I took the covers off. Like the two that are out in our kitchen and living room have just these, you know, the globes on them, you know, the frosted globes. And I was like, I'm going to take this off, put a smart bulb in here because I never remember to turn the kitchen light off. I pull it off and it's flat. And I'm like, what is this? Mm-hmm. Apparently they make these lighting fixtures that are, and this is completely on topic. These lighting fixtures are just arrays of LEDs that you install them once. They last like 10 or 12 years. And then when they go bad, you just replace the entire light fixture.
Oh, yeah, that seems efficient. Yeah, I mean,
as long as they don't all go out at the same time. So you just, you take it out and replace the light fixture, which looks to me like something you would have to have a contractor do, unless it's just like installing a ceiling fan, which I have also done and multiple times, and I only almost killed myself once.
Well, I only have smart crown molding, so I'm not going to get
now, what does your smart crown molding do?
It borders the apartment.
What does it do that's smart, Andy? You see, you didn't think about this when you started it, did you?
I'm just kidding. Oh. I can't afford crown molding. I already pay too much for my uncrowned molded.
Well, we have.
So we should probably catch up before we start. Like, what is going on new in your personal life?
I have
life
literally worked life. Multiple been, jobs since the last time we spoke, which should surprise no one.
That is the correct use of the word multiple.
That's a literally use of the word. Or, yeah, I've literally worked multiple jobs. Let's see. I went back to teaching for a couple months in the spring. I think in late January, early February, I went back and taught at my alma mater, actually. I taught at my high school as the facilitator for the gifted program there. It was a great job, very fulfilling. Not the most difficult teaching job I've ever had, which was nice, but the problem was I started too late in the year and they didn't want to pay me for the summer months, and I don't like not getting paid. Something about food and rent and basic human necessities that often mean you have to have a job to make them happen. I know,
so
I'm a horrible human being. I'm so, so greedy. I went looking for another job that would pay me over the summer. And I ended up in the marketing department at an association management company. I'm not going to explain to you on the air what that is because it's not long and complicated, but it's more information than you really need. I'm in marketing now, and I call it content management and marketing because I do write things like transactional emails and call to action buttons and micro copy for websites. But I also put together email campaigns and manage social media and things like that. But it's a great company. I have unlimited paid time off, which is spectacular. I don't know if I told you this. You remember a couple weeks ago, I brought Mumford to the office. It was National Take Your Dog to Work Day a couple Fridays ago. And the gentleman that runs the whole company decided that he liked having pets in the office so much that we now have Furry Fridays.
I assume it is all.
It's entirely due to Mumford. Have you seen this guy? He's amazing. He's also a very solid. He's also a hard worker. So he went in and
he's what we like to call a good boy.
He's the best kind of pupper. So yeah. So now we have Furry Fridays.
Is he a doggo?
He's 100% a doggo. Nigel is the pupper, and Topher, he's just He's now on Prozac. Yeah, he's just there. He's just there. He's now medicated.
He's just there too.
So yeah, he's here. Yeah, he didn't like when Elizabeth was out of town for a couple weeks, and he let me know it. I cleaned up a lot of urine. This is exactly why people tune in for the podcast. So I'm now working in marketing, managing social media, sitting in front of the computer all day and doing stuff. And I really enjoyed it. It has been very rewarding and adequately challenging. And it is not a job that I feel like I am slaving away when I get up. And when I go in the morning, you also have gone through a professional life change, which I think is more exciting than mine, although not nearly as sporadic.
I don't know if it's exciting as yours. I did not change like industries. I think since we last recorded, I moved up to the city of San Francisco. So, it is basically 20 miles north of where I used to live. And it's basically the opposite of direction of where Facebook is from where I used to live. So my commute was an hour and a half each way. And it was just so much. And that's not exactly the reason, but I left Facebook. I took a job at a little company called Adobe. We make such products as Flash and Acrobat.
And Audition, Photoshop, which I'm using to record.
And Audition. I probably shouldn't lead that off.
We make Flash. That's it. I'm never listening to this podcast again.
Exactly. So I make Flash websites. It's pretty great. I went to Adobe, and mostly the reason was just because it was a really good personal opportunity. I am the first in-product content strategist there. So at Facebook, when I started, I was the 30th content strategist. And when I left, I was something like the 100th. At Adobe, I am the first. So there are other content strategists at Adobe. I should mention that, but there are, I'm the first one who works on like in-product UX content strategy. And it was just a really interesting gig, an opportunity. So I left and I went to do that. And now my commute is about, a third to a half of what it was before. So, I work at the office in the city and just in SoMa where all of the startups and all of the tech companies are. So I work there and I record podcasts.
I mean, what else is there to life?
Yeah, that's our lives in a nutshell. I am working on, I do want to plug a project I've been working on for that other podcast that I do, Erasable. Since we last recorded again, we started a zine, a paper zine called Plumbago, which is the old fashioned word for graphite. And the last time we did it, it was pretty rough. It was pretty analog. I literally just used a Xerox machine and laid nothing out in InDesign. But this time I'm doing a little bit more actual layouts. So sometime after this podcast is released, I'm assuming late July, we'll have a new zine for everybody. So go to erasable.us/plumbago, Plumbago.
My hope is to have this out before the end of July. My hope is to have this out in 2 days. My hope is to sit down and try to do this more often.
Yeah, me too. I think that we should give the people something, just something. So I think that we can probably commit to doing this.
I can commit monthly. To monthly. I would maybe like to more. Aim for biweekly. Yes.
Biweekly. Okay. I think we can at least plan on monthly, maybe biweekly. So,
the content is there. We know that the content is there. Yes. We are both willing. It has just been a matter of, trying to find time when our lives settle down. And really, it's more about me finding the time to commit. I would love to blame it on Andy. I would love to blame it on you. Nothing would make me happier than to blame this on someone else, but really it kind of falls on me. And Andy held my feet to the fire on this one. I put the Facebook post up and I was like, soon. And he's like, okay, that's right. You can't just tease the people and say soon, you have to pick a date. And I was like, Tuesday.
You know, if it's FBO, then right. There's no turning
once
back.
We put it on, once put it on the calendar, I was like, well,
Facebook official.
I blocked it out. Well, yeah, we put it on Facebook, then we went to Twitter. And so there you go, Dogrid listeners.
And we have a, We have a sweet new icon. So
Andy put a lot of design work and effort into both our new cover art, and he did some design work on the new website. You still can go to .grid.xyz and it'll automatically kick over to our, was it Symbolcast? Is that who we're using now? Symbolcast, Symbolcast.com, Symbolcast.fm. We're using that now. I don't mind the whole Squarespace hullabaloo, but I feel like this is going to be easier because it's made for podcasts, and I'm now using nerduprising.co as like my personal website and portfolio. So
you just
completely did. I actually had my boss the other day. She was trying to think of something, and she was like, who is that, you know, like on Twitter, who's that Nerd Uprising? And I was like, I think that's me. And she's like, oh yeah, that's not what I was talking about, but that is you, isn't it? And I was like, yeah, I guess that is me. I'll go with that. I'm not offended by that. I own it. You know, I'm the one who picked the name in the first place. So yeah, we went over to Symbolcast, and I'll let you know, Andy, how the workflow goes from workflow. There it is. Workflow. I'll let workflow. You know how that goes, getting it from downloaded onto my computer up to Symbolcast and streamed and everything else. I know I need to resubscribe to our podcast in Overcast because my cover art is gone. Completely. It's not even the old stuff, it's the new stuff. So this has been behind the scenes of an emerging podcast. Yeah. So it is.
It's fascinating.
Let's talk about podcasts. So yeah, I would love to sit down and try to do this at least once a month, if not every other week. Because I like chatting with you. There's a reason I decided to pick you on Skype. I still have Aaron Droplin's number on Skype, but I was like, you know what, that Andy Welfley, he sounds like he could probably use an internet friend right now.
I don't normally use as many obscenities as Aaron Droplin, so I don't know why you picked me.
We earned the explicit tag. It hasn't happened yet, but just wait for it. It's just wait for it. It's coming.
Just wait.
If we were going to use the intro stuff, Andy doesn't tell me that he starts to record as soon as he picks up Skype. He waits until we're 4 or 5 minutes into the phone call. And he's like, oh, by the way, I'm recording this. You know, if you need to use, this is the show.
This is the show.
If you need to use any of the 4-letter words that you use as the intro, you can. But yeah, so that's what's going on with our lives. That's what we're hoping to do for all of you listeners, because my ego really likes it when I get positive feedback. So I would really like to sit down and do this biweekly or at least monthly. And I think that's doable. One of Andy's conditions upon trying to set this back up, because he did put a lot of time into the art, and I am a difficult person to handle. So decided that we are going to do this biweekly. Promise. He said, okay, well, I have an idea for a new segment. I was like, well, what is it? And he was like, I can show you, but I can't tell you because it doesn't have a name yet. So ladies and gentlemen of Dot Grid listeners, welcome to our new segment that doesn't have a name. Maybe I should insert the applause sound effect here.
Or how about like boing, yeah,
yoing, Andy, you want to tell them what the new segment is?
It's called Crazy Ira and the Douche. Now that is a
Parks 30 and Rock Recreation reference
that we were making earlier.
You said 30 Rock.
Did I say 30 Rock?
The problem is that Andy and I were talking about all the great shows on the NBC network before the podcast started. That's it's a Parks and Rec reference.
Yes, indeed. It was a Parks and Rec reference encapsulated into a Roderick on the Line reference, which is pretty great. Okay, so basically, since this is a show that basically takes place at the intersection of digital and analog tools that we love so much, we're going to basically every time we record recommend a digital tool and recommend an analog tool, and it could be, that can be very loosely interpreted. But let's start with the digital tools.
I was actually going to ask if we could do yours last, because that branches into some other things that are kind of the main topic.
You know what? Let's do that.
I'm going to start with analog tools. We'll both do analog, and then I'll do digital and you do digital. How about that?
Perfect. As you can see, there was
workshopping
very
it right here in front of you, folks. Workshopping.
We got
right
this
here.
Down.
The analog tool I'm recommending is a notebook cover. I made it was an ill-advised purchase around the Christmas season of This Is Ground, which is, I've talked about very briefly on the podcast before. They make really high quality leather goods, great cases for like.
Imagine if you will, a notebook that has a man bun.
A notebook that has a man bun. This is ground. No, I made an ill-advised purchase around the holiday season. They were doing, they do twice a year. They do like their equivalent of their factory seconds, or like things that have minor blemishes on them, or things they just have super, super stock of. And they just, it's like a grab box. And they're like, here, there's a grab box. I won't tell you how much it costs because it's still super embarrassing. But they, there's like a 1 in 7 chance of getting one of their larger cases or bags or something else. And I was feeling kind of cocky. I was like, yeah, 1 in 7 chance is a pretty good chance. And I didn't get any of the big pieces. No, I didn't.
Hell
yeah.
Get
any big pieces. But what I did get was this great notebook cover. It's, they call it the medium. It's a 5x7 leather notebook cover in a really high quality leather. There's a link to it in the show notes, and it fits a great 5x7 notebook. You know what? I should have recommended the actual notebooks that I'm using in there with them. I'll put a link to those in the show notes. I don't remember what they're called right now, but they are, of course, dot grid notebooks. But I really like it because it's something that now that I have a big boy job again, I can walk into meetings carrying and feel pretty grown up about, because it's a good looking notebook cover. It's, like I said, it's a high quality leather. It's got their logo embossed on the back. But other than that, it's got a good heft to it. I don't know. There's something about investing in high quality products, you know, buy something once and buy it for life, as opposed to buying the same thing, you know, every 6 months or every year or whatever. This is one of those things that I feel like I'm going to have for a long time because it holds up really well. And because it's leather, obviously it's going to wear well, it's going to age well. I think I have a coffee spot on it somewhere, not like one that like, I didn't like put a purposeful coffee ring on it. Then it would really have a man bun, right? Like if it had a coffee ring on it from a coffee mug.
Is it artisanal coffee?
No,
locally,
dude.
Roasted.
We are straight up Keurig. We buy the largest box of cake, the largest boxes of K-Cups I have ever seen. They go to Costco.
How does it feel to be, man, killing the planet?
And you, Will, we've talked about it at length on the show about how much of a coffee snob I am, but Keurig is so easy, and I get up and I leave the house. I don't have coffee till I get to work now. And it hurts me a little bit to drink that freeze dried, because it is kind of freeze dried and it's got like nitrogen in it to keep it fresh. And yeah, the guy that invented the K-Cup has flat out said he regrets doing it because of what it's doing to the planet. But yeah, you know, like those we buy boxes from Costco that, I kid you not, are probably a gross of K-Cups, like 144 K-Cups in a box, which is, yeah, it's huge. We fill up an entire drawer in the kitchen at work with it. But yeah, so it doesn't have a coffee ring on it or anything else, but it's something that really kind of drove home the, if you invest in high quality products, then you don't have to buy shitty things over and over again. You can just have one high quality thing that you keep. So I've been really happy with it. I highly recommend stuff from This Is Ground. Their stuff's, like I said, not cheap, but if you're the kind of person who's looking for a notebook cover and you want something that's going to, you know, protect your stuff and weather and look good at the same time, then I highly recommend them.
Can I confess something to you real quick? So in our show notes, you put under the analog tools to recommend, you put This Is Ground Medium, and I clicked on it and I went to meet it. The title of the page is medium-This Is Ground. And I was expecting to be reading a Medium blog about it, like on medium.com. And so I was like, this is really cool. They actually formatted this Medium blog to look like an e-commerce page. And I was like looking around trying to like click on things and figure out how they actually like made this like e-commerce cart in Medium. And then I realized that was just the name of the model.
That's like not that a really strong branding move for them. I mean, to be honest, they make the tech dop kit.
Well, it wasn't a strong branding move for Medium.
They have this, they make the,
to name it after
make
the average
tech
size
dop kit that I carry too, that has also been wearing really well.
Yeah.
That's like my go-to cord kit that I keep all my stuff. I had to go after it today because I had to get the extension cord for, you know, the one that hooks up to the block charger on the MacBook. That's one of those, I use it so rarely that I think I had to dig it out of a box that was in a box. But yeah, I highly recommend This Is Ground products. What are you highly recommending analog wise?
All right. So, the thing I'm recommending analog wise is, probably more of a brand rather than a specific model at this point. But, I have really, really been loving, Wright Notepads lately. They make, among other things, they make little pocket notebooks that are, but perfect bound. So instead of like Field Notes that has a staple in the middle, they use like glue, and the binding is more like a book. So their homemade, their pocket notebooks are bound almost like a book. And they also have jumped on the quarterly release train, and they have some really, really amazing pocket notebooks. Will, do you have any Write Notepads?
That's one of the few brands that every time something, like, especially this time around, with that Chesapeake stuff, man, those notebooks are beautiful. I may have to allocate some of my slush fund money and do that to buy notepads. I almost spent a whole bunch of money on jet pens today because I was looking for those green pens for you. So I may have to divert my my stationary budget towards Write Notepads because they have some really nice stuff. Are you a subscriber to their?
I am a subscriber. I couldn't help myself. I subscribed to way too many notebook quarterly stationery releases. But these are really great. They, even the, just the regular, like non quarterly releases are pretty fantastic. They're really good quality. And, Chris Roth, who is the proprietor of Write Notepads, he's a friend of Johnny Gamber's, from the Erasable podcast. I would say he's a friend of mine, even though we have never met in real life. He has a particular graphic design style that he can make something that is very like ornate and beautiful, yet very like tactile and usable. Like you don't necessarily feel precious about these notebooks, even though they're just like gorgeous. They just look amazing. So his latest release is a tribute to the Chesapeake Bay. It's a notebook. Do I have mine? Yeah, here it is. It's a blue notebook with a like linen rolled cover. It kind of feels like a piece of wood. It says Chesapeake across it. And the inside has a hybrid dot grid. There is true to our name. One side of it is a dot grid. And I would almost call it like a pin grid. Like the dots are so tiny and so small that you can hardly see them only when you're looking for them, which is kind of interesting. And then on the right side is lined paper. And he always, what's really amazing about this is he always releases a pencil to go along with it. So, this came with a orange pencil that is, Johnny Gamber, who is from Baltimore, from the Chesapeake Bay area, would call this, Old Bay seasoning colored. Has a little crab on it, which is what you usually season with Old Bay. And it says Chesapeake down the side. So these pencils are pretty good. They're all made by Musgrave Pencil Company, but Chris has kind of an unparalleled, amazing sense for old school design and typography, and like everything he produces looked like it was made in a different decade, like at least different century.
I have been jealous seeing all of the pictures because I follow them on Twitter. That's the problem when you don't subscribe to people, but you follow them on Twitter, like you actually actively see what you're missing out on. I get two Baron Fig emails every time they release something.
Oh yeah.
And that's just like
all the FOMO,
insult to injury. I'm like, oh, it's like the notebook that came out today with the debossed bees. It was Tuesday. I was like, oh man, that's really cool. And then I'm like, but I'm probably not going to buy that. But now
Baron Fig side note, they have been on fire with their releases. You know, we had Joey Caffone on this episode on the show a couple years ago, and they have been killing it with.
At that point, they had two notebooks and an app.
Yeah. Yeah. And now they have quarterly limited releases for four different products. It's insane.
And they have that Kickstarter for the bags.
Yes, that too.
Is that going to make? Have you noticed?
Is it? Say again.
Is that going to make? Are they going to make that Kickstarter? Has it already?
Oh yeah, they made. Man, they made like five times their goal at least.
Good for them.
So I'm getting my slate blue backpack.
Man, I told you that was almost the first. I've still never Kickstarted a thing. That was almost my first Kickstarter, just because I know the attention to detail and quality that they put into. And I know we're talking about Write Notepads, but Baron Fig side note, which is probably going to be the name of their next product because they're running out of names for things. Baron Fig side note.
the Baron Fig side note.
Have you seen their? They have those dot grid sticky notes.
I have. I have not picked one up, but they have a, the mastermind looks pretty great.
Yeah. Oh, the big desk blotter.
Yeah.
I'm now that I have a desk again, I want one of those. We should talk about my desk later. Because it's analog and digital at the same time. But write notepads. I'm super jealous of the stuff. Did you get the crab hammer too?
I did get the crab hammer. Each subscriber gets a little extra usually with their kit. And there was a crab mallet that was involved. And so I guess this is just me being kind of a lifelong Midwesterner, but I am very uncomfortable breaking through carcasses to get to my meat. So I don't really eat crab or lobster.
Well, that's the thing.
Just because they're kind of giant sea bugs.
If you don't get the right size crab, it's not worth it. If blue crabs, the best crab I've ever had was in Baltimore. I spent like 3 days in Baltimore for a conference a couple years ago, and I almost hung out with Johnny when I was there, but I decided to stay back in my hotel room and drink and play Dungeons and Dragons instead. He completely understood. Oh, I did very good at the drinking. I did not do so well with Dungeons and Dragons. But that's the best crab I've ever had. And so I can completely understand the whole Chesapeake, like the whole connection to the crab, everything else. I'm jealous. Are they selling those pencils like by themselves? I would love an orange pencil with a crab on it or a dozen of them even.
Yeah. I'll take a look and let you know.
Cool. Yeah. I am a sucker for orange, especially orange pencils and orange writing material.
So back to crabs, you know, as this is a crab podcast, my neighbor crab across the hall was like, exactly. My neighbor across the hall, who is a native Californian, one time went crabbing to China Beach, and he brought back several giant Dungeness crabs. And he texted me, he was like, "Hey, got a couple crabs. Do you guys want these?" And we're just like, and he sent me a picture, and of course it's like a live crab.
Right.
I'm just like, man, I don't know what to do with this. Like, what do I do with a live crab? I'm probably just going to turn into a pet.
Yeah.
Like, right. You know, Sebastian, Rupert, and you know, Krabby. So I'm like, I have no idea what to do with this. And he was like, yeah, you just put it in boiling water for 17 minutes and you're good to go. I'm just like,
you're like,
I can't boil a live animal, man.
Now I have to adopt it and kill it. That seems odd. I don't think I'm going to do that. I already
gave it a name.
You're like, it's this. Flounder because Sebastian was taken.
Yes. So no. Okay. Yeah. So that is my analog tool to recommend. Let's move on to the digital tools.
Okay.
Will, what is your digital tool to recommend?
This digital tool has changed the way I interact with my computer. And I realize that maybe you may feel like I'm overselling it a little bit, but I am not. I'm recommending Copied, the clipboard manager that works on both Mac OS and iOS. I have tried multiple clipboard managers. I tried Pastebot when they were trying to restart that backup for Mac OS. I did Paste for a while, which is really great. Like visually, it's really good to look at, but it was not nearly as streamlined as Copied. I really like Copied, not so much for the cross-platform stuff, but just because it's super quick and super easy. I told you I have a new fancy mouse. I bought one of those Logitech Performance or Master MX, the one with all the buttons on it, which I really like, and that'll probably be a digital tool that I recommend at some point. But I have it set up so that whenever I press the scroll wheel down to click, the Copied window pops up on my screen, and I have it set up to keep the last 500 things that I've copied to my clipboard. It is smart enough to know not to keep passwords, which is great. Because I'm often copying things out of one password and putting it in there. But it'll hold on to things like GIFs and images and things like that. It'll let you keep lists. So I have a list of all of the Kimoji characters that I'm always sending you, the table flip and the sunglasses on and the shrug and everything else. I have those saved.
Is that what they call those?
I think it's Kamoji. It's in that list. You and I have a running list Kimoji. From a podcast we talked about doing that was just Will and Andy complained about millennials. That's like the first thing on that list, I think, is Kimojis. But I don't know. If you Google it, you can find it. But yeah, so I keep a list of that in there. I keep GIFs in there that I use very often, although, as we have discussed at length on this podcast, my GIF workflow typically is just me going over to the side and digging through the huge folder I have of them on my computer. Thanks to you, 90% of my GIFs are courtesy of Andy Welfley, either ones that you made.
We have to do a we have to revisit our GIF work show episode.
Yeah,
GIF workflow episode.
Well, we can do, but we can probably make a half an episode. We should do like a whole follow up episode. Your challenge, Andy Welfley, should you be willing to accept it, and you know that I've taken this mantle on myself, is to go back and listen to our entire back catalog, and then we can do an episode that is just follow up.
Okay,
I've listened.
That's a good idea.
I've listened to 1, 2, part of 3. Most of 14 and most of 15.
I can't recommend that for anybody.
I can't either. I can recommend episode 5 with Aaron Draplin. I can recommend episode 7 with Mike Rohde and episode 8 with Joey Caffone. It kind of goes off the rails a little bit after that. 14 and 15 are just Andy and I talking about the to-do list, to-do systems we use. That's pretty much what it is. Calendaring and to-dos, and this is how I work.
Did we ever actually release any content from our sleep episode? We were just like, you know what? We have no idea what we're talking about.
No, we sat and talked. That's really, ladies and gentlemen, you want to go behind the scenes of a podcast. If we're going to tangent off here for a second, the reason that this show died, in my opinion, is because Andy and I had about 3 consecutive false starts on episodes. It was a sleep episode and the episode where we were super drunk didn't actually count for anything. It wasn't a false start.
Was that a doc raid or was that a
stuff and things after dark?
That's right.
Yeah. We had some false starts and we just couldn't. We didn't recover from those well, and it hurt my ego, I think. I don't know, but that's what happened. But we're back now because my ego is in check. I'm well medicated.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Coming back around to the digital tool that I recommend, Copied. It's great. There'll be a link to it in the show notes. It does cost money, but I think for less than $10 on both platforms, I really like the fact that I can. The big thing I use it for is like copying tracking numbers from Amazon on my computer and then inputting them in deliveries on my phone because I'm too cheap to buy deliveries from my computer. So I copy it and then they sync and I can put it in the tracking on my phone and I feel better. But that doesn't always work.
Does it actually work across platforms? Because I have like used, you know, allegedly Handoff, like Apple's thing, right. Copies and paste across everything, but it works maybe like 30% of the time.
No, if you don't need, especially if you don't need like immediately, if you're willing to do a force sync on whatever platform it is that you that you're on to make sure it gets caught up, most of the time it works 85 to 90% of the time on its own. 85 to 90% of the time, you don't have to update it. If anything's finicky, it's the phone because it wants, you know how iOS will like put some processes in the background if you haven't opened the window in a while. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, you'll have to either open the window or access the widget on the lock screen. That'll do it. But I really like it. It helps me a lot. I put together, I'm putting together 7 different newsletters a week now for the 2 freelance clients that I have. And a lot of it, for one of my clients, 6 of them are almost identical. So I end up copying the entire HTML block from one and then moving it over to the other because there's different formatting and things that if I try to do it with a WYSIWYG, it gets all messed up. That's what I'm recommending. I almost picked the thing that you are recommending because it has really done some cool stuff. And I want to use your digital tools, our transition into our sort of main topic about new tools and workflows and things. I don't want to give it any more ado. No more further ado. What is your digital tool to recommend, Andy Welfley? We really need names for this segment.
Well, my digital tool for, what do we call it? Oh, Crazy Ira and the Douche. I don't know.
Crazy Ira or is this your douche? I'm
pretty sure it's my douche because I've spent way too much money on this. I honestly don't remember where I came down on this when we had our Markdown episode, but I'm pretty sure I was a big IA Writer loyalist. Did we talk about Ulysses back then?
We mentioned it very briefly because I have listened to the Markdown episode is number 3, actually. So I've listened to a good portion of the Markdown episode. And yes, you were still an IA Writer devout. You had not purchased IA Writer Pro, which doesn't exist anymore. And we mentioned Ulysses, but we both talked about how Ulysses was a little bit more than either of us needed in a markdown tool. That being said, listening back to episode 14, you do talk about how you use Ulysses a lot. So you, somewhere in between our third episode and our 14th episode, you made a transition. This has been the history of Dot Grid with Will Fanke.
It's my personal biographer, Will Fanke.
I do what I can.
Personal markdown biography. So as you may have guessed, if you're still listening, which I don't blame you if you're not, is that we, my recommendation is Ulysses, across both macOS and iOS. It took me a little while to really get into it, but I think the thing that finally sold me was, just the idea of having like the library of my files off to the side. I have like lots of little segments of things that I write for. Like I have Adobe stuff. I still have my old Facebook archive. I have different teams and products within Adobe that I write for. I have like various pieces of correspondence that I start in Markdown. I have stuff for WordClinched. I have stuff for my personal blog on Medium. I have stuff for Erasable. I have lots of like little things that I write for. And rather than try to keep them as plain text files in my Finder, which is something I just would probably never do. I just kept something on the side of, like in the sidebar in Ulysses. So I've been using Ulysses for a very long time, which is to say apparently for a year to a year and a half, let's say. I was using the beta for a while. I got in their beta, which is pretty great. So I finally, I would say probably a year ago, I ended up buying it. I think it was on sale. Normal price is, I want to say it's $44.99. At least that is the price of what it is now. They actually won the Apple Design Award in 2016, which is pretty great. In 2015, they won the Best of App Store Award from Apple. So it's a really good app. You can change up the themes a lot. You can make a solarized theme, Will.
Oh, I know. It's one of the themes that I play around with. I've moved away from solarized, but longtime listeners of the show will know that I'm a fan of not burning out my retinas.
So I use Ulysses and it's all of its white background glory. I enjoy burning out my retinas.
I do want to talk to you about themes for that at some point, because there are other themes that are not just red and black on white.
Yeah.
Have you gone exploring for themes?
I've explored a little bit, but I really just keep it kind of on the, let me open Ulysses and see what I have. I really just kind of keep it on the plain one that has like, you know, headers in blue and links in, like red or pink or whatever.
Where am I? So you're using like, is it Freestraction?
I am using a theme called Yosemite.
Oh, Yosemite. I have Yosemite. I like Yosemite. I am using one called Outback, which is a little more streamlined. And I like the dark side of it as well. The dark side.
Dark side. Right. Yeah. I should probably use Freestraction, because that does kind of like dull the white a little bit. One of the things I love about it is you can just really nest your files off to the side. Like I have a couple folders that are, three deep. They have lots of fun little icons. I think somebody spent a lot of time just like customizing the icons in Ulysses for each of these like little directories.
It's beautiful.
I spent so much time picking out my icons. They're very well considered. You know what? I don't have a good one from Dot Grid, so that's going to be my evening project, to figure out which Ulysses icon I need for Dot Grid.
I need to do that too, because I'm over here looking at them now. I'm like, oh, all of these are really nice and all of these make sense for like work and things, except for the freelance client that I have. He is a crown, and then one section of the post I have for him is the dog cow, the Apple dog cow. They re-added that like two versions ago, and I was just like, I'm going to create another section just so I can use the dog cow.
So, I actually just recently purchased the iOS, version of that, because, after using an iPhone 7 Plus, which I have been since, like October, maybe, I have been typing more on my iPhone, which is probably worth another show. So I finally bit the bullet a couple weeks ago, bought the iOS version of Ulysses, which syncs pretty instantly with my macOS version via iCloud. It is not instantaneous, like I can't watch myself type on it, but probably every, I want to say 10 to 15 seconds, it kind of resyncs and updates, which is pretty great if the apps are active. So I have started kind of using this as a to-do list as well. The thing I actually do still use IA Writer for, which is a very weird specialized thing, is when I compile show notes for Erasable, I basically copy and paste plain text out of a Google Doc, which we all use to kind of like communally take notes. And I paste that into IA Writer and then just like copy, paste, and convert it to a markdown list. And then I insert it into Squarespace as a markdown like segment. But for some reason, when I do that, when I like make the copy paste like edits, I don't like using Ulysses for that. And I think it's because, you know, when you sort of like indicate that something is a link, it pops up that little dialogue, mm-hmm. and you can't just like easily go through and copy and paste. And the particular way I do it is I just like, you know, do the opening brackets down the list, and I do the closing brackets and open parentheses down the list, and then I do the closing parentheses down the list. So for some reason, that's a very boring way of me saying that I still have a use for IA Writer, and that's apparently it.
No, it's the same thing I do, because yeah. I like both of the newsletters, or all the newsletters I talked about before, are their weekly newsletters for Place. Oh, I guess I can say that I'm the marketing director at UX Booth. I guess I didn't mention that. I've been doing that since January. I'm the marketing director at UX Booth, uxbooth.com, for those of you that are interested in user experience.
How many jobs are we talking now? How many jobs are we up to?
Three.
Concurrently.
Three.
Okay.
The freelance stuff, which I'm still, it's just the one client, the marketing director at UX Booth, and then the full-time gig. But when I like, okay. for instance, when I'm putting together the... I guess I should preface this with, I am also using Ulysses for the vast majority of my writing. But I still use IA Writer because I do not like the way that Ulysses formats markdown links. So just like you said, I like to be able to see what the link is behind it, because then I know that it's the right link. But if you do it in, like you said, if you do the whole bracket, bracket, parentheses, parentheses there, then it just asks you to put it in, and it looks great in line. Like if you're moving quickly and you want a clean interface, Ulysses is great for that. It doesn't keep all of the URLs there in line. But I often want to see them when I'm an IA writer. Plus I have some fancy Brett Terpstra tools set up so I can, I just start a new document in IA Writer, and I run the service tool that pulls all of my Safari tabs and will list them in markdown list format. And then I just kick off the reference stuff at the beginning and highlight them all. And then he also has a service called Titler, where if you highlight a URL and run the Titler service, it will pull the whatever would normally show up like in your tab, like at the top. It'll pull the title of the URL. So I can just highlight them all, hit Titler, and then it'll put in a markdown formatted title of the post for all of the things that I am. Like I pull our three most popular posts for the week or whatever. I'll just put the URLs in there, highlight them, hit Titler, and then it'll put the title of the post in brackets and then leave the URL in parentheses behind it. And then I can just copy it out as HTML.
And then boom, you are entitled instantly.
Yes, something like that.
Instant entitlement.
Instant entitlement. Maybe that's a title for the episode. I like that one. But yeah, that's well, I also use IA Writer because it's quicker for me to just start a note there than it is in Ulysses. I feel like if I open IA Writer, boom. So
IA Writer does load a little bit faster. It's kind of just like the ultimate plain text editor, where Ulysses is more for sitting down and like composing something for me.
Right. I use IA Writer much like I use a notepad. And I use Ulysses for longer form things that I actually have to sit down and think about.
Well, and speaking of notepads, we should talk a little bit about, like, you know, Apple Notes and all of these text editors, and a couple other things, do you think?
Yeah. Do you want to do that? Or do you want to talk about workflows?
I don't know.
Cause I feel like notes and down, things that we write in was the first thing we put down on our list. Again, this is the making of a podcast live.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like transitioning to new tools and workflows is more relevant to our job changing roles. And
yeah.
I would like to do a little more firsthand research into, in particular, Bear, which we have mentioned on the podcast before very briefly in episode 3. I may just go ahead and pull the trigger and do Ulysses on iOS, and then we can come back and talk about writing tools. We may not necessarily revisit all of Markdown, but that can be part of our follow-up. Major follow-up episode is What a Reason to Write On Now. But I really do want to talk about, because you started a new spot. Oh God, didn't you go for a week with like an iPhone 4S or something?
Weren't you
in when between I was, jobs?
When I was between jobs, I used an iPhone 4S for a little over a week. Actually, no, I used that for longer because it took a little while to get my new phone through Adobe.
Right.
So I would say 2 or 3 weeks with an iPhone 4S. It was a humbling experience. It made me realize how just sort of used to this like amazing, giant, beautiful screen of the 7 Plus that I was. Mm-hmm. And I used to sort of be against the big Plus phones. So I guess that's a good way to start it off. That is a new tool that I'm using.
Yeah.
What's your current setup as far as your phone goes?
I also have a 7 Plus. Elizabeth and I are both on the Apple annual upgrade thingamadoo, that new planet they have, because hers got wonky back, I guess, in October. Her six did, so she's on a 7. And on our way back from Texas on New Year's, my iPhone 6 Plus got the disconnection bug where like this was widespread where the screen just like contact with the screen stopped working. Did I tell you about this? I would have to bend my phone. It was the same way that like Bendgate worked out. Like if your phone bent the wrong way too much, then you kind of broke some solders on the inside and it didn't make the complete connections anymore. So mine did that. So on January the 2nd, I went in and bought myself, I went into the Apple store and got a new 7 Plus, and I no longer feel inferior looking at your photos, because for the time that you had the 7 Plus and I didn't, I felt very inferior with portrait mode.
And honestly, that is like the sole reason that I got it. If they would have had a 7 that would have had portrait mode, I probably would have gotten that. But I just remember watching the keynote last fall, and just like watching them do these portrait modes and just talk a little bit about like the math behind it and the ways they do it. It's amazing. I have an incredible camera in my pocket. Like that's solely the reason I went with the 7 Plus. But after I did, I did start to appreciate the like typing on it, because it is much easier to do, at least with my hands, than it is on a just regular 7 or any other sort of a smartphone. So I'm a huge fan of that size, and an even huger fan of the camera.
Yeah, it's a high quality mobile device. Like I am also, I have been rocking the Plus since, well, I guess this is the second rendition they've done. Was there a 6S at some point?
There was a 6S Plus.
Okay, I did not do that. I did the 6 Plus and then I went to the 7 Plus.
No, me neither. Same.
I really like the Plus size ones, just because for a while it was my substitute for a tablet. I now have an iPad mini, which I like a great deal. Are you doing that multi-pad lifestyle now?
I am. I have an iPad mini that I basically use to consume Medium articles and Reddit posts. It's basically just sits on my nightstand and like is what I kind of read at night. I also have through Adobe. I have an iPad Pro. I have one of the first iPad Pros, the one that was just the most up to date until like, 3 weeks ago.
The little one or the big one?
I have the little one.
The 9.7.
The big one is, yeah, the 9.7. I have that plus an Apple Pencil. There's a lot of, I think, Adobe products. There's one called Sketch, one called Draw, that are iPad focused and just very focused on interfacing with like digital art tools through the iPad. So everybody who starts through the design department got one of these. So it's pretty great. The screen is amazing. It's noticeably better than the iPads before it, than the Mini, for example. it's super fast. It's actually noticeably slower than the new iPad Pro. I guess I would say the iPad Pro 2. I don't think that's what they're calling it, but it's a little bit slower, and I do have an Apple Pencil with it too, which is, it's weird. It's weird.
Do you feel like a traitor?
I don't so much feel like a traitor as just like an explorer. I figure it's my duty as a pencil podcaster to understand the world of other pencil devices. So jumped into it. I went to a conference last month, and I decided that the only note-taking tool that I would bring with me to the conference itself was my iPad Pro and my pencil.
I did not know this.
Oh, you didn't? We didn't talk about this?
No, you and I have no. This is news to me.
I wanted to try it. I was, I think I was complaining bitterly about it on Twitter. So maybe you were away from Twitter for that day. But spoiler alert, that's basically why, why I was complaining. The first day, I apparently did not charge the pencil properly, or it had run down. And I was basically like, you know, when, except in 2017, are you like, oh, I can't take notes at this conference because I didn't charge my pencil.
Was this Confab?
This was confab. Yeah,
see, I took that day off of Twitter because of the, like, the horrible amount of FOMO. I was like, ah, I'm just not going to Twitter today, because 90% of the people I follow, it's either like 10% of the people I follow are hockey, and the other 90% are content strategy, UX design, things like that. A lot of people that were at Confab. You and my other internet best friend were both at Confab, and I was like, ah, these two people don't even know each other and they get to go. It's not fair.
Well, we had a dinner together once at one point. So.
That's good.
We met. Yeah. Skipping to the end, I basically didn't need to take notes because Evernote was a sponsor. And one of the amazing services that they offered was they had people in every session taking amazing notes. And then they published a notebook with all of the just really incredible, polished, thorough notes afterwards, within a couple days of it ending. So if you run a conference, you should get Evernote to be a sponsor, because that's amazing.
If you want to see the excellence that Evernote is still capable of, like we talked about Evernote a lot at the beginning of the first few episodes of the show, and it's definitely something that I've moved away from a great deal. I want to put a link to that notebook in the, cause it's a public notebook. I'll put a link to that notebook in the show notes, because man, it is just, like, wow, it definitely helped with the FOMO a great deal. Like, it's still not the same as having the experience of being there and being able to connect with the people in your community and things like that. But yeah, that notebook definitely made me feel like I didn't miss as much with the sessions, because it's good stuff. If you're at all into UX design or UX writing or content strategy or anything that Confab covers, you're going to want to hit that link up in the show notes, which are going to be at .grid.xyz/16, I hope.
Simple. You still have you forwarded the domain to the Simplecast site, but you haven't actually pointed it there. But
the way that the new posts work, I've got to figure out how to make that happen. I may have to go in and do something with Namecheap, because right now, if I go to .grid.xyz/15, it just goes to the main feed, which is not that big a deal.
In any case,
because you can just go to it and then click the link that goes into the feed. And if you're subscribing to this in Overcast or Simplecast or Castro or I think probably iTunes even, you should be able to just get you should just be able to get the show notes that way. If you
totally
aren't listening to it on a computer, but if you are listening to it on a computer, that's how you get to them. We're going to have to put a link to the Evernote notebook in the show notes.
Yeah. So, I played with a few different, note-taking apps for iPad Pro with an Apple Pencil. Best one that I found for myself, is probably Notability. There's a lot of people who like that one. I
am one of those people.
Are you one of those people? I think you told me about it.
Yeah. I've liked it for a long time, since I've always had the dream that Apple is hoping to make much more of a reality with iOS 11 and the new iPads, where I can just take notes on an electronic device and it indexes my handwriting. Notability has been the closest thing to be able to work with that so far, but tell me why you like it.
Why do I like it? So it's $10. That's one of the reasons. Some of them are considerably more expensive. I like it a lot because, I thought it was easier than some of the other apps to import pictures, to actually type on it if I wanted to basically annotate over PDFs, which is kind of the main thing that I do with it. I review a lot of like mocks and screenshots and things, and I basically, the first review I take, I just sit in one of the comfy couches in the office, and I just like scribble over it, just edit it. It feels really good.
I wish that there was a preview for iOS, because that's, I mark up a lot of PDFs as well with the stuff that I'm doing now. And I really like the tools that are built into preview. I think that the new screenshotting tools for iOS 11 are going to come close to kind of what preview does, but
yeah.
But yeah, I kind of wish there was a preview for it, but notability is a good second. Sorry to interrupt you. I just, once we both get our heads wrapped around iOS 11 a little bit more, especially you with the iPad Pro, I would love to be able to sit and chat about some of the changes there. Not a lot of changes going on with High Sierra for us to talk about.
It's true. Yeah.
Unless you're really into virtual reality.
Yeah. They dropped the price of the Oculus Rift for the summer. So, man, I would almost buy that if I knew that in the future I wouldn't have to buy a fancy gaming PC and I could just run on my Mac.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is it now? It's not an arm and a leg. Now it's just an arm or a leg.
It's you get both the headset and a touch controller and a couple games, I believe, for $400 instead of $700.
That's really not that bad, but yeah, I just don't feel like,
well, I just don't
want to, I want to talk about new computers after this, but yeah. I just don't feel like I have a computer right now that would run it.
Yeah. And that's the thing is I feel like if they optimized for Mac, like I have a, you know, fancy new Touch Bar MacBook Pro, and I feel like I could run something on it, but I would have to buy an $800 gaming PC and I just don't want to do that right now. So, I sort of told myself that I wasn't going to be interested in seriously in trying to get a VR like setup until there, I could like be on the bridge of a Star Trek starship. And now there is a Bridge Commander game for Star Trek on VR. And so therefore
the time is right.
I'm starting to think, I'm thinking about it, but I haven't owned a gaming system since the original Wii. I really just don't need to be somebody who plays a lot of games. I don't have that kind of time. So I really probably shouldn't,
but Bridge Commander,
I could just move onto the bridge of the Enterprise or some other starship.
That'd be a huge yeah. get for you.
Yeah. So anyhow, what were we even talking about? iOS 11.
iOS 11, new MacBooks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I'm still at the point where I'm a little bit frustrated with the beta because the, they've changed a lot of the gestures and the commands. So I can't just like easily swipe around anymore. And I haven't quite figured out how this whole like control panel / like side screen works. You know what I really miss that I can't quite figure out how to like replicate is I like to see the battery level of all of my various Bluetooth connected devices. Just in the sidebar.
Did they take away the batteries widget?
I don't think they took it away, but I don't know where it is. So maybe yes, they did. I'll figure that out.
I don't think they took it away, but I don't see it and I can't find it. So
I just want to know if I have to charge my goddamn pencil.
Your pencil and your AirPods.
Yes, and my AirPods. So those are some of the new hardware. I guess I also alluded to a little bit, but I have the new Touch Bar MacBook Pro. That was the new computer that Adobe gave me when I started. And it's pretty good. It's the 15-inch. It's pretty big. I think it performs very solidly. It has a really great monitor. I think that works really well. But I am pretty just aggravated generally by the lack of ports. Like it's just all USB-C ports. And I have like all the dongles, but you know, I don't always remember to bring those dongles with me. And I really think the charger is dumb. Like I think they really went backward when they dropped the MagSafe chargers and they went with basically the USB-C 3. I always want to say USB-C 3. That's not it. It's not a 501 C3. My USB-C port charging my computer, they've gone backwards with the charger. It's not as good as it used to be, I think.
Yeah, I will miss that. I have a 13-inch touchbook. Can we call it a touchbook? I like that idea.
Yeah, let's call it a touchbook. Let's, why not?
Bang, booked it. Yeah, I have a 13-inch touchbook in my future. I still have my 13-inch MacBook Pro, which I love and I'm recording on and is the best computer that I've ever owned, hands down, bar none. But yeah, that was work doesn't want me to always use my own personal computer. And when I started, they handed me an 11 inch MacBook Air. I spent 4 hours one day last week on my computer, adding dots to a map in Photoshop. By the time it hit layer 170, on its way to layer 232, this thing was just like chugging. It was like, it was having a hard time getting it done. That 11 inch MacBook Air would have caught on fire. Yeah. Just, you can't do that many layers. Like I know now that I should have been using Illustrator and not Photoshop, to do that, because I could have put everything on one layer. The new person we hired this week had a minor in graphic design. And she was like, yeah, that was the wrong tool for that. And I was like, hey, just using what I know, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, I have a 13 inch touchbook in the future. I have my 13 inch MacBook Pro now, which I really love. But I did start out using that 11 inch MacBook Air at work, because I'm like, you know, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. I don't want to be like rude. You handed me this computer, I'm going to try to use this computer. And then like 3 days later, I was like, I'm not going to use this computer anymore.
With its like 10 by 20, resolution display.
Yeah. I mentioned on one of the previous episodes that I said that I didn't notice when I went back to help Elizabeth do things on her 11 inch MacBook Air that doesn't have the Retina screen. I don't want to do things with that Retina anymore.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. I definitely feel like I'm using that, entitler kit. I feel very like tech entitled. But yeah. It's so hard. I think everything I have is Retina now, with the exception of the external monitor we have at home. But I have one of the 5K, the LG 5K displays at work, and it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. We have, I still have my same monitor. I told you I dropped it, and it's got those dark corners up in the top.
You did. Right? Yeah. I think I physically winced when you sent me that.
It's really sad. I was carrying it upside down. That's my fault. I had for a while two monitors and my MacBook set up on my desk at work. And like the nerd in me was like, this is glorious, because I had a 19 inch monitor turned on its side. So it was very vertical. I was using it for like newsletter arrangement, because a lot of our newsletters just go on and on and on at work. And I was also using it to edit some HTML, or during the day, it would be the window where I had like Tweetbot and messages and Todoist and the iTunes window all popped up in one space. But we hired the new person at work, and so she has my 19 inch monitor, which is now turned the right way. And I'm back to two monitors. And Andy Welfley, I know that you probably think that I would have loved having three monitors again, but I actually feel like I get more done with two.
So there is a note that is here in our little document that says, how many monitors is too many? And I answered it with the way that I figured that Will would answer. So this is a surprise to me, and saying, trick question, there's never too many monitors. So tell me why two monitors is better than three for you.
So it's the same reason that having one monitor is better than having multiple monitors for some people. I read an article about this a few weeks back, if I can find it, and I should be able to, because Instapaper lets me save all these things. I'll try to put it into show notes, about why one monitor was better for this person than multiple monitors was, because it helps them focus. It's the same reason that people say that they feel more productive on an iPad than they do on a MacBook, because there's just the one thing for them to work on, the one thing for them to focus on. They can turn off notifications. There's nothing kind of intruding in their way. I feel like with my MacBook open on, Elizabeth got me one of those great 12 South stands for Christmas, because that's so I keep my computer kind of set up on that. And then the monitor open next to it. I don't feel like I can go any less than two, but I feel like I found a good balance with two, where I can have one monitor where I'm doing the main thing that I'm working on. And then on the other screen, I can have the stuff that is like, that I may need to get to, but I don't need to have right in front of me, stuff like Slack and my email client and, iTunes and Todoist and things like that. So that's my balance. Three monitors was almost too much, because I was all like, so much to look at. But I can't do anything less than two, because there are times when I have to like work in a spreadsheet and in a browser at the same time. And I have to be able to reference one number in the other, and trying to scroll back and forth. Like, I would rather have one monitor have the spreadsheet and the other monitor have the thing that I'm working on, rather than trying to like switch, like swipe back and forth. Cause I do use the gestures on the trackpad, so I can get back and forth between desktops pretty quickly, but there's no substitute for having one open to the side. Are you a one monitor kind of person? Do you go to work and like dock up?
Yeah, I have. Well, I usually keep my laptop monitor open, and then I basically stack it kind of below my work monitor. So I generally use the actual keyboard on the laptop. I don't really use the Bluetooth keyboard. I think mechanical keyboards might be an entire show.
Oh yeah, we haven't even had that conversation. I didn't even have one for episode 15. Yeah. Oh yeah, that might have to be maybe the next episode can be writing tools. Yeah. Maybe the next one can be writing tools, and we can talk about the apps that we use and the keyboards and the pencils and things. Cause it's not like this entire podcast isn't about writing tools, but
yeah, peripherals. So I generally stack my laptop monitor below my big monitor. And I kind of use the gestures on the trackpad too, but I do also usually use a mouse, like a Bluetooth mouse on the side if I have it all connected at work. So I sometimes use my left hand to click or to swipe, and I use my right hand to mouse. Don't know why, just something I guess I fall into the habit of doing. But if I don't have the mouse, it's fine too. I don't have a mouse right now.
Have you adjusted to that keyboard? Okay.
It's fine. I don't love it. It's fine.
And I've never used an Apple product that's fine.
Yeah. And I don't have, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really use the touch bar. Like, it's cool. I think it's fun that it's there. It looks like the future. I really hope after listening to the Accidental Tech podcast, that this isn't like, you know, a transitional fossil of computers to come. Like they have all speculated the touch bar is just sort of like Apple's first preview at going completely keyless into a completely like glass input.
No,
I mean, if that's the case, just get an iPad, whatever. I don't care.
Right.
But the touch bar is fine. I don't use the escape key a whole lot. I'm not a coder. But I sometimes do. I did customize my little toolbar to put the screenshot button in the part of the toolbar that is always active, unless I'm in an app that has like a specialized touch bar. I take a lot of screenshots, so I do like having that there. But whatever, the keyboard's fine. The trackpad's really great. Trackpad is way bigger. I think you'll see a noticeable difference in the trackpad. It feels really good. It has force touch in it, so it doesn't actually physically move, but it does register like, feels like a click. Like I looked at it really closely to see if I was actually moving the trackpad. I'm not, but it feels, out of all of their like force touch stuff, this feels super realistic. It's really great.
Yeah. My MacBook has that and I really like it.
Yeah. So I like that. I think I mentioned I have the 15 inch, which is bigger than I would have wanted, but it's fine. I'm not going to complain about my like super fancy new computer. It's the battery. I had a MacBook Air before, 13 inch. Well, I guess you can only get a 13 inch Air. I had a MacBook Air before, and the battery is really amazing. And I don't know if this battery is less than like the MacBook that you have. But it feels very short.
I will let you know because yeah. I will be able to put them up side by side. I did leave myself a note to bring my charger home today because typically I just leave my charger at work.
Yeah.
Because even though I don't know if you ever held them next to each other, but I can use the charger for Elizabeth's computer on mine. It just doesn't charge as quickly because it's a different wattage.
Yeah, it's the smaller ones mine is a big old beast. And of course it has USB-C 3 cord on it. Jeez, why do I keep saying that? The USB-C cord on it, which does not, I can't like wrap it around the, charger itself. So I've been carrying a Field Notes band of rubber. Or is that a Draplin band of rubber? One of the Field Notes / Draplin.
No, it's a Field Notes. It's a Field Notes.
Okay. Yeah. One of those giant rubber bands to just rubber band my cord to my charger.
You're giving me nightmares, man. I'm already super worried about this stuff because I was already worried about the dongle because yeah. I've got to have a USB-A to hook up my keyboard. I've got to have some sort of pass through, be it HDMI or Thunderbolt / mini display port to hook up my monitor.
Oh, yeah. I have all the great dongles.
Yeah. I almost dongles. The like the mini dock/dongle that Wirecutter recommends was on sale for Amazon Prime day to day for $15 off. And I was like, I should go ahead and buy that. But I'm like, am I really going to buy a dongle for a computer that I don't have yet? And should I really buy a dongle for a computer? Yes, you are. I didn't.
Okay.
I did buy today though. I felt super adult. I bought a new crock pot today.
Oh, look at you. Did you buy the Instapot?
No, that was, I noticed the Instapot was on sale for a relatively reasonable price after that. No, because I will be using the crock pot to make approximately two things. Elizabeth really likes to have the crock pot in here to cook things during the day. So she'll probably be using it more than I will at the beginning. All I make in the crock pot is red beans and rice. So, and the occasional roast, pork roast, beef roast, what have you. But, she has a whole slew of meals that she likes to put in there. So no, I got the, it's the Sweeter Home. It's not their top pick, but it's their second pick. And the only reason it's not the top pick is because it's more expensive. It's typically $90. I paid $32.
Nice.
So got a new slow cooker coming in. Definitely felt like I had completely transitioned into adulting when I bought a crock pot on Amazon Prime Day.
You know what I wish is I could go to Whole Foods, since they are an Amazon company now, and just buy like all of my bougie food for super cheap. But no dice.
No, but you might soon be able to buy all your bougie food and have it shipped to you for cheap.
That's true.
Do you live in a same day delivery zone?
I do. I live in a, I could get, for a little money, I could get it delivered within the hour generally.
It's like $8. Yeah.
Yeah. But I, if we do that, I usually opt for the like 2 to 5 hour window because that usually is included in the Prime price.
Yes. We also have a Prime. We are also in a Prime Now area, which is great. I never would have thought Nashville would have been one of those cities, but we have a distribution center in Murfreesboro, which is not an hour south of here. And there are like three more within 3 hours of here in Kentucky.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Jake Bilbrey, lives like two blocks away from the San Francisco distribution center. So he sometimes gets it within like 15 minutes. It's amazing.
That's great. Click the button and then it shows up. Yep. So I bought that and I bought Elizabeth something, but I can't say what it is because she can hear me, but it's, she wants, the longer USB cords. Cause the three foot USB cords or the USB lightning cords are horrible. So I got her, one of the Anchor 6 foot. It's like wrapped, you know, what I'm talking about. So it's not like just plastic on the outside, but it's like a fabric wrap on it. So, she got all sorts of rose gold stuff. I bought her one of those battery chargers a couple days ago, the portable chargers in rose gold, because she's going up. I told you she's going to Paris next month.
You did.
We're doing very much a Will and Andy conversation and not a Doc Grid podcast. Sorry, guys. you forget. We're also friends.
Yes.
Yes. I'm worried about all the dongles.
Yes.
That are going to come along with this because, and my boss flat out said, are you sure you want to do something that's all USB-C? And I was like, well, I feel like that's where everything's kind of going. And I'm kind of buying this computer for the future.
Yes.
Buy this computer because it's something that I think will be good or great now and continue to be good or great for many years. And not just like I love my MacBook, but I feel like in a year and a half, there's going to be a certain level of work, be that graphically or otherwise, that I won't be able to do as well on this as I would with a new computer. Plus, if I'm not paying for it,
hell yeah.
Know what I mean? So
exactly.
Yeah. How much of a hassle is it to move to a new computer? Do you want to just like transition into the old man shaking our fists segment of the program for a minute?
We should. I do feel like this is really your area to shine because you are frequently reinstalling from a factory reset.
Only on the iOS devices because these computers are my livelihood now. Now I did have obviously that opportunity to, when I got that new Mac, the new to me MacBook Air, the first day I was at work, I started on a Thursday. So it was like kind of like an easy transition period that Thursday and Friday. And I spent most of that Thursday either setting up or realizing that I still needed to set up a good portion of my computer because I forget about the things like I use Atext for text expansion and I have all the Markdown service tools and, you know, I a lot of my stuff is synced up to the cloud now, either Ulysses or IA Writer, or I'm trying to do as much stuff through the Apple sort of ecosystem as I can, because iCloud sync for many things has gotten to be much, much better. But yeah, I just, you forget about all the little things that you don't have when you get in there. Like, cause I think I've talked about it before. I know I've told you about it. I use the caps lock key as a hyper key. So it's like another shortcut key for me to do things. And so like there's a couple different programs you have to download for that. And then I still feel weird about it, cause it's a work computer. I'm like, how much personalization and specialization do I want to put into this? Because, you know, as I end up having to do, I'm going to hand this off to somebody. And I bought new stickers and put them on the new computer, and then I had to take them off because it's not my computer anymore. That was kind of a bummer. What about you?
I went for a week without a computer. Kind of in between jobs, I took a week off. So I went and signed up for a trial of Dropbox Premium, because I ran out of space in my free Dropbox account. So I signed up for a trial of that and just like dumped everything into there that wasn't already sort of syncing to iCloud. And so when I installed the new computer, when I was working on the new computer, I basically just like took everything then back out of Dropbox and canceled my trial. So if you know that you're going to be computerless for sometime less than 30 days, that's a good way to do it. Pro tip.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was also wondering about how you went from an iPhone to an iPhone 4S back to an iPhone. Like, did you restore from an iCloud backup, or?
No, I basically just did a kind of a clean restore, and I just brought over the apps that I spent a little time just kind of paying attention to the apps that I knew that I couldn't live without on my phone. And then I just sort of installed them as needed. So, I realized that turns out I did use that like parking meter app occasionally. Some of the parking meters here, you can just like pay your parking through an app. Do you have that in Nashville?
Yeah, you can scan like a QR code and it pops it up, and then you can say this, and then it doesn't necessarily print something, but they can check and see that you have somehow done it. There's not very many of those here, but we're up and coming enough that we got them fancy parking meters.
Yeah. So I realized that, oh, actually I do use that. And a couple other ones. And I just basically just took care not to put, cause this was also a 16 gigabyte iPhone as well. I just took care not to put like, you know, a lot of like extra podcasts in my Castro, which I was using at the time. I basically kept a lot of the apps out of it. I didn't put the Facebook desktop app on there. I basically just used mobile web, which for me was very painful, because the mobile web one is just not as good, but it's also doesn't take up 300 megabytes worth of space on your, it's more than that actually, isn't it?
It's large. I'm actually looking right now, because at first when you said it was a 16 gigabyte, I thought you were talking about your new iPhone 7 Plus. And I was how are you making that even happen? No,
that old one was. You're
talking about the 4S. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I got to my new job and I got my new iPhone, and I just installed all of the apps again. I think I restored from the factory backup. I just blew it out. It's 128 gigabytes. So I used most of that up because I'm a memory hog.
I guess mine's only, I guess it's 32, because I'm looking and I've got 21 used and I've got 6.66 gigabytes available. All of that obviously is an overcast, but I was like, how in the world were you doing 16? You got 4 gigabytes in photos on here, and that's optimized. Yeah. Facebook on my phone is 320.7 megabytes.
Yeah.
Real time follow up.
Yeah. It's so big. I do feel like most of the memory I have on mine is photos now, because it takes extremely high resolution photos. I generally leave the live photos turned on because I'm an idiot.
No, that's my favorite part of the photos you sent me. It's so fun. It's like you hold that, like you and Katie smiling, and you're like, okay, that's enough. Like that was happened. That's actually what happened with you and Jess Hutton when you took a picture at dinner. You're like, Jess says hi. You're like, held it out, and you're like, yeah, okay. Or you said something like, yeah, okay, that's enough, or whatever. And then you put the phone down. And I was like, that was the best part of the photo.
Live photos. See how the sausage is made.
Live photos for talking trash about the person you're sending the image to.
And then I take a lot of portrait photos. So of my cats, as you do.
Oh, yeah.
And that not only saves the portrait photos, but it saves a version that doesn't have the blurred background. So, yeah. So my photos take up a lot of room. I have it all backed up to the cloud, and I think I have the 200 gigabyte iCloud purchase, which is maybe like $4 a month. And pretty sure I'm more than half of that is used. So I'm using up all the memory.
I don't know how you do that. Like, I have the 50 gigabytes a month, the one that's like a buck, and I have 38 gigabytes available. And I'll remind you, I am using three different iOS device or three different devices, two of which have backups. I have four backups in my iCloud right now. I've currently used 12 gigabytes of that stuff. I'm not even kidding you. 3, 4, 5, 7 of those are backups. Well, 12 is a backup.
Well, let me open my iCloud drive and see what's going on over here. So I do have, some backups in here. I do have like deep storage for old documents, and I do have a backup of all of my erasable recordings in here in my iCloud drive, and a few other things. But yeah, I think most of it is just pictures.
I should move the DocGrid backups from there out of my Dropbox and iCloud. Here, you know what? That's a great question to pose to our listeners for one of our future episodes. Yeah. If you are using digital storage, what are you using? What brand and what size and why? Like, why there? Like, I know that I use Dropbox because it integrates with a bunch of stuff. Also, we use it at work. So I now have two Dropboxes on my computer. You're the same way though, aren't you?
I am.
Both the Dropboxes?
I do. I have the Adobe Design Dropbox, and I have a personal one. So I do keep a couple of things in the Adobe Design one, but mostly that's just shared files with designers that are very large Sketch or XD files.
Yeah, I have a lot of, I'm using the storage that came with the Creative Cloud for all of the Creative Cloud based stuff that I do. I guess I could put this podcast in there when I get done with it. I don't know how much space I have. That's probably something I should have paid attention to in onboarding. I got this Creative Cloud subscription but because Andy was there, I felt like I needed to.
Yeah.
So I've got that. I've got that space there to keep stuff.
If yours is like mine, you have 200 gigabytes, but I have no idea if yours is like mine.
Right. You do work for them.
Yeah.
So I would imagine you might get that choice plan and, I don't know. Actually, I feel like I should have at least 20. I'll check it out. Anyway, it's another section I have.
Would you think I had unlimited stock photos? Because I do not. I do not get any stock photos included in my plan.
That's weird.
Yeah.
You design things.
I know. I need stock photos.
Are you doing like Unsplash and Pexels?
I don't know. I steal it from the internet or take it myself.
Unsplash is where I'm going for all of my all my stock photos these days. I should put a link to that in the show notes as well.
You should.
Unsplash is quality notes that I have something to say about Unsplash in the episode where I go on my rant about doing spec work for job applications, because that was one of the companies that where I applied and did a significant amount of spec work and didn't get hired.
Yeah.
But that is a well-fueled rant for a different day.
Yeah. What else should we talk about in this inaugural episode?
This reunion episode, I'm looking. The reboot episode. We have project management and to-do systems in here, but dude, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. We should roll that into a separate episode.
I will just say two words, things three, and just leave it at that.
And I will just say two words, Asana sucks, and I will leave it at that.
Yeah.
There's a reason that I'm currently using a personal to-do system and a work project management system. And that is because the work project management system does not meet the criteria that I set, the high bar that I set for personal to-do systems. But that is, again, a different conversation for a different day. I feel like we have had a rich and plentiful episode full of content and wondrous conversation for our listeners. Remember when I told you I wasn't going to be as much of a tool in this episode? I just completely broke that rule. Wondrous content for our listeners. Hashtags.
I do think that, the first step of of engaging listeners is providing good content. I think you really got to deploy engaging content
to the millennials.
Yes.
That's all I got. Yeah. Or the zillennials. Is that what you are? You a zillennial?
No, I am. Well, I am at the cusp, at the very end of the zillennials, exillennials, according to, you know, this writer from the internet. So I really feel marginalized, and I really feel like both neither zennials nor millennials speak for me. So I really demand a nano generation be created for those who are just born in 1983. Don't know what that name is yet, but I'll definitely be writing a think piece on Medium about, like, you know, attributes for all of us, because we're all the same.
Coffee and man buns.
Yeah. Man buns, coffee, dongles.
Dongles.
This is ground notebooks.
Workflow.
Workflows. You know, podcasts.
Podcasts. We don't know.
You know, I don't know about you, but I can't wait. I can't wait until the day that bars of soap die, because, you know, they had it coming.
You know, that's all I use is bar soap.
Yeah. Oh, that's all you use.
Straight up, the only thing I use is bar soap.
You're a terrible millennial, sir.
Do you know why I use bar soap? It's because I won a whole bunch for free.
You won a whole bunch of bar soap for free.
Yeah, remember that streak that I had going when I was the luckiest person ever on Instagram? Uh-huh. I won in the same summer where I won the tech dop kit and the appointed notebooks that you got and Elizabeth got that I got. I also won a Bluetooth shower speaker and what they said was a year's supply of bar soap, which was it's Dr. Squatch is the name of the company. It's, and you laugh, it's really good soap. Like the one I'm using now is pine tar. So it's black, but it smells really good. There's an exfoliating quality to it. I will put a link to Dr. Squatch soap, in the show notes. If you are still the kind of person who likes using bar soap, I highly recommend it. Plus bar soap is easier to travel with than gel.
Two things. One, how many,
there's so much to digest there.
How many bars of soap do you still have of this? And can you take a picture of your stock, of your supply? Like when they say a year supply, what do they mean?
Well, considering it's been almost 2 years and I still have like 5 bars left, maybe 7.
Do you worry that you're just not cleaning yourself well enough? Or do you think that they just gave you too many?
No, I feel like they gave me way more than originally anticipated. I feel like they gave me like 12 bars, like one for a month, but they don't take a month to wear down. Like they take like 6 weeks to 2 months. So I promise you that I'm cleaning myself adequately. I'm still married and my house does not smell, nor do I. I don't think. Hold on.
Whoa. No, I'm good. Hold on a second. Did you hear that?
I did not.
That was awful. YouTube just kicked in with a holy shit. Sorry. I had opened a CBS News page in order to share a factoid with you. And YouTube, the trending video just started playing a very loud booming thing. So
thanks, CBS.
Headline, blame millennials for the vanishing bar of soap. When it comes to how Americans use soap, it's fair to say millennials are making a clean sweep of it. So according to new data from consumer research firm Mintel, Americans between 18 to 24 are largely snubbing the old fashioned bar of soap, leading to sales declines for the likes of Ivory's iconic 125 year old bar and its bar soap rivals. So, I guess that's only like a certain portion of millennials, not those on the far end of it as we are.
Because dude, this is millennial soap, like hands down. If a millennial was going to buy a bar of soap, this is the soap that a millennial dude would buy.
But I just don't know when the madness will stop. Like, you know, already millennials have killed the video rental store. They stopped buying cars. So they're killing the car dealership. You know, now they're after our soap. You know, what's next?
The avocado toast industry is booming.
That's true. That is true. I think Big Avocado Toast is really behind a lot of this.
It's quite possible. And you know what? Yeah. You're right at the nexus. So, just,
you know, at the forefront of avocado toast / hipster bar soap.
Did we ever talk on the podcast about the avocado delivery thing? Or was that something that happened during during many off times?
During the in-between times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, You know, I think they have since closed because, you know, big surprise.
I can't imagine why.
I don't know why. At one point in San Francisco, there was an app that you could, well, a website that you could go to called Avocado that will deliver you as many avocados as you want, of course, for a price within the hour.
Everything has its price.
So I thought this was a joke. I, you know, basically just was like, oh, I'm just going to check this out. And I got to the point where it was going to let me check out. I was like, okay, you know, I'm willing to invest $4 in this joke, if it is indeed a joke. Placed an order, was not a joke. Got my avocados within an hour. It turns out I was their first customer ever.
No so way.
You're welcome, world. I've led that trend. But oh. Also all it was some dude on like a website that went over to the grocery store next to his office and put the avocados on an Uber Eats and sent it to me. So, it's pretty low tech. They definitely like bootstrapped that one. But then that friend of mine who writes features for the Indianapolis Star, newspaper decided to write a story about it. So I am quoted in the Indianapolis Star as basically like an Indiana bored tech douchebag from San Francisco who uses, avocados as a service apps, or I guess avocados as a service, ass apps.
Avocados as a service.
Ass. Yes.
Yeah, I see it. Okay. All right. Okay. Until you did the, I didn't get it. This is the part of the Dot Grid episode, new listeners, where everything goes off the rails.
Yes. So we should probably end it pretty soon. Before we do our sign off, can I talk about our new, internet online community?
I know it's something you really want to do. And right now we currently only have 4 members, 2 of them being us. So yes, well, please
one of
pitch
them
this.
Is one of the founders of this platform, but, we here on the Dot Grid, on the Nerd Uprising Network, is that still a thing? No, we're not. It's not still a thing. We've gone.
Technically
indie.
There are still those podcasts. We could resurrect them at any time.
Okay. So we here at the Nerd Uprising, podcast network really love trying, new apps. So
cutting edge technologies,
cutting it. You know what? We prefer to be at the bleeding edge, not the leading edge. Bleeding edge apps. We love our new network. So we decided to start a online community based around this podcast at an app called spectrum.chat, which is if you were to take Facebook groups and let's say Slack and kind of like bang them together and then like get some really good UX designers to design the interface around it, you would get Spectrum. It's this really cool. This is in no way sponsored by Spectrum. It sounds like a commercial, but it's not.
We don't want to disparage the UX designers at either Slack or Facebook.
No, they're all great. I know many of them personally. However, spectrum.chat is something we're trying out. So there is a podcast network called spec.fm, which is a lot of like design and development podcasts. And they were realizing that there was not an online community that worked well for them. So they started building their own, Spectrum. And so, at one point in the last week, they opened it kind of to the public. So if you go to spectrum.chat/dotgrid, maybe we can set up an auto forwarding like subdomain or something. That is our community and it should be pretty straightforward on how to use it. Let's chat about your favorite analog and digital things there. I will make sure to repost show notes and episode stuff there as well for all 5 of our members. Go on.
No, I was gonna say we're always looking for episode ideas and content ideas. We do really like to chat with the people. What were we using for? What was that little micro conversation thing we were using for a little bit that ended up just being like me and you and?
Oh, was that? You're not talking about Mastodon, are you?
No, there was something else, and they shut it down because it was like scaling too quickly. A lot of people like having. No. We do have a long conversation about app.net in the episode. Yes, that's what it is. I can't believe I forgot about the Twitter. No, it was, oh my gosh, it was an app and like you could have hosts in a room, but then you could invite people. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, it was like a podcast, but for like a chat app.
Yeah.
Shoot, I do not remember the name of it. It was fun to play with, but it lasted like 2 days.
We have done many, many flash in the pans. I'm hoping spectrum.chat is not one. I'm hoping that it kind of, I mean, I don't think it's ever going to be Facebook, but I don't think it wants to be.
It's low commitment. Like you can sign in with your Twitter account or your Facebook account or create an account there, whatever. It's fun. It's cool. It's, beautiful. There's other little communities you can explore there. It separates things out into communities and then into channels and then into posts within those channels. So spectrum.chat/dotgrid.
Come hang out with us. We both will probably keep the tabs open for a couple of days after the podcast is launched. If you want to come by and say hi, there's not a mobile component to it from what I could tell.
Not yet, but I think it has a mobile, mobile layout if you wanted to use it on your mobile browser.
Hashtag responsive design.
Yes. Hashtag RWD. Right.
Hashtag RWD. Hashtag beep. I think that's it.
Yeah. Should we talk about where people can find us on the internet?
Yeah, it's super easy to get to us via our website, dotgrid.xyz. I do like the fact that, I don't know if you've, Andy, if you've scrolled all the way to the bottom now, but it lists your hosts and pulled our avatars from Twitter. And so you can follow us. Yeah, you can just scroll on the bottom of the page and click that. But if you are not the kind of person who wants to go to that length and just want to go into the your Twitter app of choice, I'm on Twitter at Will Fangy, at W-I-L-L-F, like in Frank, A-N-G-U-Y. That's the best way to get in touch with me. What about you, Andy Welfley?
I am on Twitter as A Welfley, first initial, last name. That's A-W-E-L-F as in, I was trying to think of something clever that's not Frank. Field Notes, F as in Field Notes.
Good one.
Field Notes, L-E.
Nice.
Or you can find me on andy.coffee.
That's true, andy.coffee. You can also listen to Andy biweekly on his other amazing podcast, Erasable. The Erasable podcast, it's still at erasable.us.
Indeed it is.
Great. I'll do the plug so you don't feel like, so you don't have to. and yeah, that's the resurrection episode of Dot Grid. There it is.
We'll see you back either in a month or in 2 weeks.
We hope.
And hello, hello, Harry Marks.
Hello, Harry Marks.